I'm Tom Wilmer. Right now we're with author Ruth Carlson, who has a brand new book, Secret San Francisco, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. But I'm here to tell you, Ruth, it's not a secret anymore.
Well, thanks, Tom. That's good news for me.
Yeah. So San Francisco, probably unlike any other city we can think of in America, going back to the Gold Rush, has been a magnet for some weirdos that are bigger than life, that become legends.
Yes, it does have its share of weirdos. The history is so rich and so layered. I was shocked, all the things that I found out. And some of those weirdos were wonderful people, like A.P. Giannini, who started Bank of Italy, which became Bank of America. Mm-hmm. And they say It's a Wonderful Life was based on him.
Going way back, post-Gold Rush era, a businessman that imploded, reinvented himself and became a favorite son of a San Francisco, Emperor Norton.
Emperor Norton, yeah. And Joseph Amster is wonderful. He is, you will still see him walking around San Francisco in his Emperor Norton outfit. He leads tours. And Emperor Norton was a fascinating man. He went crazy. He made a fortune in San Francisco, lost it. This was during the Gold Rush.
He tried to corner the rice market of the world and almost did.
Yes.
And he thought he's got it. And then these two giant freighters come in loaded with rice.
Exactly. And so he lost everything. Went away for a few years, came back, apparently also lost his mind. And came back with an ostrich hat and a uniform, and he had a saber, and he went into the Call Bulletin, the local paper, and said, I am the Emperor of the United States. And everyone said, okay. They printed it, and he got free uniforms. They gave him free housing. He got free tickets to the opera, the ballet, free restaurant meals. I mean, it sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, and I think he could ride any of the trolley cars for free. He had,
yes.
On the train.
And even though he obviously lost part of his marbles, he was a real visionary. He was the one that said, we need to have a bridge to Oakland. He was for women's rights back then. He was for racial injustice he thought was terrible. It was amazing. The guy was brilliant.
And pretty incredible how the city, the people just accepted him, you know, and loved him.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the great things about San Francisco. They like characters, and that's one of the things that was so fun about this book. I love characters, and it makes it a special city.
And when he died, how many people came to his funeral? It was like 30,000.
It was a lot, and there was a total eclipse of the sun.
Perfect.
Yeah, which was like, you think he planned it.
Okay, so that's my favorite guy. How about you?
I love him. I also like, there's another guy, Greg Angelo, who is really interesting. Everybody kept telling me, you have to see this guy, you have to meet this guy, you have to go to his house. They call him the Whirling Dervish. He's got all this energy, and he's an artist. And his home out near St. Francis Woods in a very rural, suburban area, rather, manicured lawns and everything. And it's there, and you go inside, and it's just wild. Every room is a different theme. There's Arabian Nights, there's a spaceship, there's an aquarium, and color everywhere. And artists are continually working on it. It's never the way it is. It never stays the way it is. And then he gives you a tour, and there's part of it is reading your fortune. You climb ladders, there's secret stairways. It's just a very unique San Francisco experience.
Mm-hmm. So you have the weird, wonderful, and obscure. That would be one of the obscure ones that you would never bump into by accident.
Yeah, the great thing about this book is, you know, I'm sure more about San Francisco than I do. And a lot of native San Franciscans have said to me, oh, tell me something I don't know. And then I said, well, have you been to the Greg Angelo Museum? No. Do you know about the Audium Museum? Or rather, the Audium? No. How about the tours of the sewer? No. So that made me feel good.
So tell us about some of your favorite obscure tours that somebody today could take.
Well, people seemed enthralled by the tours of the wastewater treatment plants, the sewers, the underground tours. It's quite interesting. They're free, but they sell out every month. It's through the Public Utilities Commission online, the PUC, and they sell out every month, and they're fascinating. you go down there, and San Francisco is one of the strangest sewer systems in the country, in that it's combined with homes and sewers in the streets.
Explain.
Well, it's most places are just the sewer system is they have different ones, one for the outside for the streets and one for homes.
Okay, got it.
Ours is it's from the Gold Rush. Mm-hmm. It's still from the Gold Rush, and they're renovating the buildings, but because of that, they find really weird things. I mean, they find you would expect drugs, money, mm-hmm. wedding rings, but then they find like a school of ducks that were still alive, a family of ducks that somehow came through the system
and was living down there,
and they were alive when they came into the sewage plant.
That's yeah. quite a journey for those little guys.
I know, it's amazing. They couldn't believe it.
How do people find out about the sewer tour?
It's the Public Utilities Commission. Just go online and they list them there. It's every month, but they book up fast. It's free, but they book up quickly.
Cool. Give me another favorite.
You know, the Audium is very interesting. It's not a tour, but it's called the Audium. It's the only theater that was made just for sound. And it was back in the 50s before you had surround sound in theaters. Mm-hmm. And you go in there and it's a totally dark room. There's no visuals. So you have to make the movie in your head. And they call it a symphony, but what it is sounds of San Francisco. So you'll hear raindrops, you'll hear cable cars, you'll hear sirens, footsteps. But it's amazing when you're in there in this dark theater, there's no light, and you just hear that, how you create the movie in your head.
Based on the sounds that are played.
Yeah, and I found actually since I went there, well, first of all, since I wrote this book, I walk around San Francisco totally differently. I'm looking at the architecture, I'm thinking of the history, but also the sounds. I don't listen as much to music when I'm walking on my phone. I listen to the San Francisco street sounds.
Oh, how cool. And where is it, and how much does it cost to get
street,
in?
It is, gosh, I'd have to look. It's a nominal amount. I don't know off the top of my head, but if you go to Audium online, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very unassuming building, this big wooden doors. A lot of people say, I walked by that. I never knew what it was. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like a speakeasy, big wooden doors and one little window.
Okay, we've talked about the weird and the obscure. Give me a wonderful.
Wonderful. Oh, my gosh. There's so many wonderful stories about San Francisco. Really, I was so impressed. The last duel was fought in San Francisco over slavery. Broderick, who was a politician, was against slavery. And to me, it was shocking that San Francisco even had slavery. I think of the South, but people that moved there had slaves. And so he fought a duel with another leading politician in the city. One, so they have Broderick Street and a Broderick statue. There's also A.P. Giannini, who to me was just an amazing man. As I said earlier, he started Bank of America. That became, first it was Bank of Italy, then it became Bank of America. And after the earthquake, well, let me tell you one story that wasn't even in the book. The best part of the book was talking to locals who had family stories. And Tom Escher was a nephew of Crowley, who owned Crowley Maritime. Crowley grew up next door to A.P. Giannini, and I didn't have enough room to put it in the book. And back then, Telegraph Hill was a working-class neighborhood. And so A.P. Giannini had goats. His family had goats. And then Crowley, his job as a kid, was to make sure the clothes didn't come off the clothesline, didn't fly off in the breeze. And the goats would get loose and run over to Tom Crowley's yard, and then he'd come over to A.P. Giannini's yard, and they'd have fistfights and roll on the ground.
Oh.
Eventually, this led to them being best friends, which worked out really well in the earthquake, because Crowley became successful with his maritime business, and A.P. Giannini had the Bank of Italy. And Giannini was smart enough that right after the quake, before the fires, he said, this is trouble, I'm going to get my money out of here. Calls his best buddy and says, get this over to Berkeley on your boat. So they put it in milk cartons to disguise it, all these millions of dollars. And the workers said, gosh, these are heavy. And they said, don't worry about it. The guy's paying us a lot of money. They took it over to Berkeley. Well, A.P. Giannini went to the wrong dock, and they just left it there. I thought, well, it's milk cartons. What? You know.
Wow, a few million.
Yeah, big deal. So he freaks out. Says, you stole my money. Crowley says, no, you went to the wrong dock. He goes there. It was all sitting there the next day. And then he could have taken advantage because the other banks, a few days later, the fires came. They couldn't open their safes because it was so hot with the fires that all the cash would ignite. But Giannini didn't take advantage. He put up a plank of wood, I'm sure you know this story, on two barrels and said, okay, how much money do you need? Mostly Italian Americans. He knew them all by name. Didn't even put it in writing. Trusted them all. And supposedly they paid them all back.
That's so cool.
I love that story.
Okay. Another weird, wonderful, or obscure.
Oh, this is another great one. San Francisco built the first skyscraper. which a lot of people don't realize. It's the Halliday Building, the guy who named after the man who invented the cable car. Mm-hmm. And UC Berkeley wanted to invest in real estate. And so they hired Willis Polk, a famous architect, and said, but we don't have much money. So in order to live within the budget, he built, they called it a glass curtain. It was the first building that was all glass. Of course, he put some filigree around it because he was that kind of an architect to kind of class it up. But it was still, the architects say, the first skyscraper. And it took 40 years until they actually built a skyscraper copying him. And at the time, people hated it. They said, it's horrible, we hate it. But now the San Francisco Architects Institution, they have their headquarters there. They were talking about tearing the building down. They said, don't you dare.
Okay, one more before we go.
Oh, gosh, one more. Well, this is another historical one. At one time, people did not like the song I Left My Heart in San Francisco in the 80s. They wanted the song to be San Francisco from the movie with Clark Gable. And they were, Herb Kane, the columnist, Warren Hinkle, they all said, no, we don't want I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And, of course, Dianne Feinstein did. She had the Democratic Convention coming to town. So they got the Gay Men's Chorus to go out in front of City Hall and sing San Francisco. You don't want to hear me sing.
Yeah.
And, and it turned into apparently kind of a drunken brawl. And Tony Bennett was there because Dianne Feinstein had had him come out. He was going to ride on the cable cars, which had just been refurbished, and sing it. And he hid in his hotel room. He says, I'm not going out there. They're going to stone me. Now, of course, we love it. There's a statue in front of the Fairmont, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was quite controversial.
How interesting.
The other place that's really interesting is the Labyrinth on Land's End, out near the Cliff House. It's hard to find, but it's worth it when you get there. And the story behind it's interesting. Edward Aguela, I can't pronounce that correctly. He was a, he still is, auto detailer. But he wanted to build this labyrinth. He said he was inspired by the one in France. So he, at night, would take these rocks, and he built this labyrinth, and he did it at night because the park rangers would shoo him away and say, what are you doing? Get out of here. And pretty soon, it just, everybody found out about it just through word of mouth, and then, of course, social media. And one time, some probably teenagers took the rocks and threw them all in the ground, but thanks to social media, tons of people showed up, rebuilt it, and so it's been there ever since. And it's just a very kind of spiritual place on the edge of the world, kind of.
Right, the cliffs of the Pacific. Yeah.
Yes, overlooking the dolphins and the crashing waves, and it's just beautiful. And he's pretty busy with his auto detailing shop, so there's a woman they call the Labyrinth Keeper, Colleen Yerge, and she goes out there and makes sure that it's nice and tidy and hasn't been destroyed and has redone it with the help of the people from social media over the years.
One more.
This one, to me, is quite fascinating. The Interval is a cafe at Fort Mason, but it's also the headquarters for Long Now. And Long Now is a group of people who decided that they want to think long-term. They're actually techies, but they decided that, you know, you take something on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, it's there for a second. So they wanted to create something that will last a long time, so they're actually building a clock, like a Stonehenge clock, they call it, that they hope to last 10,000 years. They're building it in Texas. Actually, the Amazon CEO, Jeff Bezos, gave them the property for it, and he's involved with it. But if you go to Interval, they have replicas of it. The cafe itself is fascinating because it used to be a machine shop for that repaired Army boats, military boats, there at Fort Mason. And they have different speakers come in and talk about the environment and climate change and anything else that's futuristic. And it's also a great place. They have good food and good drinks and coffee. But I love the story behind it. So there's a lot of techies that are thinking long term.
And that's walkable from Fisherman's Wharf.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A beautiful walk.
Yeah.
And you go by the Franco Cafe, which is another great secret. That is next door to the hostel. And apparently they're not allowed to advertise, so you wouldn't even know it was there. But it has the best prices in town, an amazing view, and it's a great place to get lunch, dinner, breakfast. I love that place.
So is Ruth Carlson's guided tours coming up?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Possibly. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've talked to Fort Mason about doing something. The other tip that I would tell anybody who's visiting or lives here that I didn't know about is city guides.
I learned a lot from your chapter on that. That was revealing.
Yeah, they're wonderful. It is apparently, they think, the only volunteer-run guiding program in the nation that's every day of the week. They have numerous tours, and the volunteers, they have to go through a rigorous process to become guides. And I know I've met some of them. They're like former Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle reporters. And they're fascinating. I mean, they take you to all over the city. They take you to Hitchcock places. They take you to North Beach to find out about Shanghai back in the day, or the Beatnik days. It's a great program, free, and just look it up online. The library promotes it.
There's no fee for the tours?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Not. They like tips. They go back to the library to help the program keep going. And, yeah, it's a great program. The water taxi is another one I didn't have room for. And that's a fabulous system that goes from Fisherman's Wharf down to the ferry building.
And very affordable.
Yes, $10. And if you're local, if you can show that you live in San Francisco, it's $5 during the week. And just great. And they give you a little free tour on the way. A very small boat, maybe 10 people can fit in it. Very fun.
Ruth Carlson, to learn more about your book, and how would somebody order it and find it?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's at Costco, Barnes & Noble, and many, many independent bookstores in the Bay Area, which makes me very happy.
Cool. So just search Secret San Francisco, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure by Ruth Carlson, and you'll be entertained like I was for quite a while. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
My pleasure. We've been visiting with author Ruth Carlson. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.